Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach. On today's episode, we have a special guest joining us to talk all about her most recent book that is focused around the things that happen to women that we are not talking about. This is so fitting for the podcast because one of the biggest things with this is talking about things that are happening to us, validating our experiences, and she is absolutely hilarious. You are going to love this episode. Before we jump into today's episode, I wanted to let you know that I am working behind the scenes on a couple little projects, and I am so excited to announce them to you here in the next couple of weeks. So be sure to stay tuned for all of that. If you would like to stay in the loop about what's happening in my world and what's going on this side of things, be sure to go to email.jordandonnell.com to sign up for my email list. That way you are always one of the first women to know about what is happening over here. Can't wait to tell you about my projects. Joining me today is Karen Freeland. She is a recovering corporate workaholic. After years in high-pressure leadership roles at Fortune 500 companies, she traded the boardroom for the bedroom. In her hilarious tell-all book, The Ins and Outs of My Vagina, a penetrating memoir, she recounts the mishaps and misadventures she had over the past 40 years with a special partner in crime, her vagina, whom she named V. Women of all ages can relate to this raw and honest journey of firsts, long-term relationships, and finding pleasure. Karen, do you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about what inspired you to write your book?
Absolutely. So thank you so much for having me. First of all, I'm so excited to be on your show and talk to your listeners. So I was inspired by not understanding my own body. Really just living most of my life and well into my adulthood, being completely confused by my vagina. Just, you know, one day, for example, you're having sex and something feels really good and you're like there and it's amazing. And then the next week you do the exact same thing and you're like, okay, like not so great this time, right? So I always say vaginas are tricky. They're very, like, we just never know what vagina is going to show up today. The one that likes this or is just kind of bored. So it was really a joke, actually, between me and my husband. He had told me that I should write a book and call it I Don't Know My Vagina because of how clueless I am about my body. And I talk about this a lot in chapter 30, all lubed up with nowhere to go. And I tell the whole story about how this came to be. But from there, I started writing. Like once my husband gave me the idea, I was like, you know what? This actually might be a story. I'm going to start just putting some ideas on paper. But then life got in the way. And I took an 8-year hiatus, basically, and just wrote like a chapter here or there and then kind of forgot about it. And it wasn't until 2019 that I had a bit of a midlife crisis and had to refocus on what I actually wanted to do with my life and decided, you know what? It's time. I need to finish this book. I'm going to complete writing it. And once I got started, I just had this new surge within me. Like I was excited. I was passionate about it. And I just couldn't see not finishing it and publishing it.
Okay, so it took 8 years to get this book together. That's amazing. And it's so interesting how little we are taught about our bodies. And that's really one of the biggest reasons why I started this podcast, because women need to learn more about their bodies. And we're not talking about it at school. We're not teaching our children about it most of the time. So we have to find other ways to learn about it. How do you feel that your book is helping other women?
Yeah. So one of the things that I think is so interesting is everybody's going to take away something different from the book. Something different is going to resonate with everyone. And I think there's depending on your age, you're also going to take away something different from the book, right? So if you're younger reading this, you're going to learn so much about intimacy in a marriage, in a relationship. You're going to learn about, you know, UTIs, which hopefully you've never had to experience one of those, but you'll know for when you do. You're going to learn about having troubles orgasming from just penetration, because that doesn't actually exist for most of us women. But, you know, you're going to be able to have an idea of what's coming. But then women who are older are going to read this book and they're going to basically commiserate, right? They're going to be able to relive their own journey and go, oh my gosh, yes, I remember when that happened to me. Oh, I'm not alone. This does happen to other people. Like, she did have a traumatic first bikini wax experience, just like mine, right? Like, whatever. And I think they're going to just have a new appreciation and love for their own bodies, hopefully. Yeah, I was just going to say, the other thing is, I hope that the book will start more conversations. Like, I want those conversations to happen, not just amongst friends, but mother, daughters, partners, talking to your significant other. Like, hey, bro, like, this can't always be about you. Like, homegirl needs to get off over here too, okay? And then we don't talk about those things because we're either embarrassed or we're uncomfortable. We don't know what to say. We don't want to hurt their feelings. But I promise you, there's a way to have these conversations that are going to normalize it so that you are more comfortable and you can live a more fulfilling life.
Absolutely. And that's the key, is having more conversations about this topic. In your book, do you talk about like your first sexual experience?
Oh, yes. It goes horribly wrong. So if some people are like, I don't know if I want my kid to read this because, I mean, it's generally for 18 and up, but I think some, you know, 16, 17 year olds, depending on the maturity level, they could probably read this. But honestly, they're going to read it and be like, oh my gosh, I'm never having sex if that's what's going to happen to me my first time.
Right. I know in the book that I'm currently writing, I talk about like my first time with penetration. And then I also talk about my encounters prior to that, which were actually with women, and didn't even realize what was happening. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I'm intrigued.
So I feel like your book is also a really great tool to help mothers have conversations with their daughters, even if they're not the ones letting their daughters read it, if they read it and kind of were able to talk to their daughters about what it is. But I feel like women under 18, ladies under 18 would be great to read it too, because you would have the opportunity to learn about these things before maybe they happen and have a better understanding, like going out in there, out into the quote, real world.
Yes. And there is a chapter, and I'm just checking the chapter numbers because we like edited so many times and they all change numbers. But yeah, it's chapter 7, Finger in the Pie. And so this is kind of my first manual stimulation. But the reason actually I wrote this book is that chapter. The reason I wrote chapter 7 was because I was listening to a podcast and they were two grown women, but they were talking about how even now today, if they're in a sexual experience and they're like not really feeling it, they'll just go through with it because it's easier than saying like tap out. And I thought, oh my gosh, what message is this sending to younger viewers or listeners that you should just stick it out and just take one for the team? I mean, I'm not saying we haven't all done it. I've definitely, there's been nights with my husband where I'm like, buddy, it's never going to happen for me, but I'm just going to ride it out so you're good. But like, when you're younger and you don't have your voice yet, I think we need to have conversations and teach young girls about saying no and speaking up and being comfortable enough to stand up for their own body. And when I was in 8th grade, I barely had the courage to do that, right? And I divulged this very awkward experience where this boy is trying to be intimate with me and I'm so uncomfortable. I'm like, I am not ready for this. This is not turning me on. I'm not excited in any way. I feel gross. I feel shamed. I just felt very uncomfortable and I didn't want to do it. And eventually I get the courage to just say like, no, I'm done. And I like leave his house very abruptly. My friend's like, what happened? What went wrong? And I start to explain, like, it was too far too fast. And it ends up being the end of that relationship, which was probably for the better. But you know, how many young girls are not being told that if you're in that situation, like, here's what you can do to get out of it, or here's the things that you should, you know, be looking out for so you don't end up in that situation. And I think we underestimate the age that some of this is happening.
We absolutely do underestimate the age. I think that a lot more younger women are in situations where they're potentially stuck and not sure what to do, not sure how to respond. And this goes like way back even further than that to early childhood when we talk about boundaries and, you know, like hugging children. If you have a niece or a nephew and you ask for a hug and they say no, that doesn't mean you go get a hug, because now you are teaching them not to respect boundaries at a very young age. And that carries on throughout our lifetime.
Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people think about that. That is something I've been newly introduced to. And that really resonated with me because I thought, oh my gosh, especially with young girls, they're being told that when they say, no, don't touch me, that that's not validated. So that's a scary culture to be in, right? And a scary thing to breed.
Yeah. I wish that I was at a younger age, knew how to say no, and knew how to stick by my no, and then knew what to do in a situation where my no wasn't being listened to. Because a lot of times, at least for me, it was just stick it out, because that's the easiest option.
Right. Yeah, because we're so worried about somebody else's feelings, aren't we? Oh, I'm going to hurt that person's feelings. They're not going to like me anymore. Meanwhile, I'm totally miserable and uncomfortable. Like, why would we do that to ourselves? But that's what we do because we don't have other options.
Absolutely. Now, when you were writing this book, what kept you sharing the real, raw truth and not holding anything back when it came to sharing your stories?
Yeah, that is hard. I will tell you, it is challenging. And you know, because you're doing this process yourself now, there are plenty of times where I wrote a chapter, wrote a line, wrote a paragraph and thought, oh gosh, can I really say this? Can I really tell someone this? But luckily, what kept me going, I guess just that authenticity and that truth and knowing that I wanted women to get the full picture. I really wanted them to feel in every chapter like they're right there with me, either in the bedroom or in the doctor's office or wherever, in the emergency room, wherever I am in all these different scenes, like they were right there with me. And so I knew I had to leave those details in or you were going to miss a piece of the authentic story. And I think, again, it just comes back to my truth and sharing that with everybody and knowing that the only way they're going to get value out of it and they're going to get the same learnings or lessons that I got is to know the whole story. So there is one chapter, chapter two, actually, it's very early on in the book, because the book starts, it goes in chronological order. So it goes from me very young, 5 or 6, discovering that I even have a vagina, all the way through to like culminating in this like amazing orgasm with my husband. So you go the whole journey with me. But in chapter two, I talk about the first time I got that sensation between my legs and was kind of like, oh, hello, what is happening down there? I'm getting hot. Like, this isn't normal. I'm like 6 or 7. I'm young. And I thought, oh my gosh, am I going to tell people about this? This is so embarrassing. Or are people going to think I'm weird? Like, whoa, she was like 6, 7 years old going through this. But I thought, again, like I have to leave it in there. And I have gotten so many messages about that chapter. And people are like, oh my gosh, I totally used to do that. I would like lay on the floor with my legs pinned together tight. And finally, my mom was like, oh, you shouldn't do that in front of your dad. And I was like, oh, that's so funny. These stories are amazing. You know, so I'm so glad that I left these things in because it is so relatable and we all go through it.
And that's the reality of it, is that people love the relatable stuff, but it helps other people feel validated in their experience as well when you are able to share those things. I know in my book, I started writing it and I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? And I talk about how like at 10 years old, I was humping pillows and like kind of that journey, and talk about my first vibrator was my mom's back massager. And then I think about, oh my God, my mom's going to read this shit. And no.
Oh, I already told my mom. I was like, please, I cannot state enough times. Do not read this book, please. She's like, why? Am I going to think less of you? I was like, probably, definitely. Don't do it. But, you know, she doesn't listen. She's going to do it anyway. So whatever, you know, I warned her.
Now, do you have children?
I do. I have two boys and they're 10 and 11 years old.
So tell me a little bit about what they think about you writing this book. And has this opened up conversations with them about women's bodies as well?
Oh, for sure. They have had quite the education going through this process. I would write it sometimes on the weekends, or they would be awake and I would just be like, mommy's writing her book. You have to stay on the other side of my laptop. Like, you can't come around or sit on my lap or whatever. And so one day they snuck up behind me and I didn't know they were there. And all of a sudden I just hear, oh my God, was your vagina really bleeding? Yes, honey. So then I had to explain a period and tampons and pads and all that kind of good stuff. And so the other day, it was so funny. I mentioned something about having a cramp and my son was like, so like, do you have your period? Are you bleeding right now? And I'm like, maybe. I'm like, yeah. And so my son hits him, my older son hits the younger one and goes, duh, she's wearing a tampon. That's so great that you know that. And it's just like a duh, like it's so nonchalant. So we've had a lot of interesting conversations. They've gotten very curious. My youngest is very curious about the whole process. So he's asked me like, how long does the process take? What process? And he's like, you know, to fertilize the egg. And I was like, oh, I was like, well, the process only takes like seconds, but I'm like, it can last as long as you're enjoying it. So like, we've tried to explain this whole concept of like actual like making the baby and then like enjoyment and pleasure for sex. So they're young. They get a little creeped out sometimes. They'll be like, okay, stop talking. Like, I can't, this is enough. And then other times I think they're kind of interested. Like, they want to understand how all these things work, but you know, it remains to be seen how they actually turn out. Like, is this all going to really sink in? Are they going to be like better husbands, dads, and whatever for it? I hope so. But you know, it's hard to say. They have a lot of formative years ahead of them and a lot of influence, I think, from other places that could potentially bring them in different directions. So it's hard to say.
Yeah. Well, and I think that not only is this information good for girls, but I do think getting boys more education about their bodies is really important as well, because, or about women's bodies, because they need to understand how orgasms work. They need to understand periods. They need to understand how ovulation works, how babies are made. Like, they do need to understand this stuff. And they don't get that education in school either.
No, very limited. So yeah, we are definitely keeping communication lines very open, because growing up, and I don't fault my parents for this, they are just doing the best that they knew how, but I grew up in a household where you didn't have sex until you got married. End of story. So there was no reason to talk about sex because you weren't doing it or supposed to be doing it. But of course, as we know, we all have minds of our own, or in this case, you have a vagina like mine and she's like got a mind of her own. And so you do things that maybe you shouldn't be doing or you've been told not to do. And then all of a sudden you're in this conundrum where like you wake up one day with a urinary tract infection and you have no idea what's wrong with your body because no one ever told you to pee after sex. Like, you just don't get the information that you actually need as a woman. And so I hope also that some of my book will provide that for some women who maybe aren't getting those conversations.
What are some of the key messages in your book?
Yeah. So definitely I hope women will take away that don't compare yourself, your sex life, to other people's, you know, because I talk a lot about my challenges with orgasming. I was not popping off orgasms every time I got in the sack, and I still don't today, even though my husband is very well trained and he understands now, oh, I can't just do penetration and expect her to like have an awesome experience. There's just days where my head's not in the game or whatever. We got in a fight or I'm worried about bills or like whatever. We're just human. But I think so many of us automatically assume everyone else is having an amazing sex life but me. And so I hope people will just kind of see, oh, maybe everybody's sex life isn't what it's cracked up to be. Also, I I was really blown away after I reread the book during the editing process from front to back with how many body image issues I've actually experienced over the course of my life. And I don't have a resolution for that, to be honest. It's something that we all struggle with. I think many of us struggle with. I still struggle with it today. But I think women will maybe appreciate that just seeing how normal it is. And I am smaller, right? So I've always been like, oh, Karen, you're so skinny or you're so small. Like you're so lucky and this, that, the other. But people forget, like I have a huge tummy tuck scar because after my second child was born, my abs were obliterated and I had a huge hernia and diastasis recti that had to be repaired. And I have sutures that stick out and bruise my skin. So I have purple bumps. So like when I take a sexy picture on Instagram, I have to take like 70 of them and get myself in the right position and hike up my jeans or my workout pants so you can't see all the scarring. But we're more than our bodies, you know? So hopefully people will get that too. But yeah, those are just a couple of the messages. And speak up for yourself, right? Speak up for what you want, whether it's the pleasure or if somebody's doing something that you don't like. And don't be a workaholic, because I talk about my workaholism a little bit in the book. So I hope people will get that message as well.
Yeah, I would love to hear more about like your workaholicness and how did you transition? I know I've kind of looked at through some of your stuff. You used to be in corporate life and doing a lot of work. And how did you transition out of that into a more fulfilling life?
Yeah. It was not easy. And it was really like, again, like a 2-year long process, right? So people who are just kind of meeting me now are thinking like, oh, wow, she's like overnight success. She just like made this happen. And it's like, no, this has been going on for a long time. So one of the things that I did is actually I hired my own coach because I know the impacts that coaching can have on people. But I knew that when I left corporate, I had to have a coach because old habits die hard. And I was going to go right back to being an entrepreneur workaholic, just except I was going to be working for myself instead of working for somebody else. And so my coach really helped me set boundaries and then build my business around those boundaries. So for example, I generally don't work on Fridays. I might do a podcast or something like this, but I don't do all the normal emails and I don't do like conference calls or meetings. Like Friday is my day to volunteer or fill my cup or whatever I need to do. And I've really enjoyed that. But that was hard for me to hold myself accountable, not to go, oh, sure, you want to meet? Great. I got a slot on Friday. Just start dumping things in. I met with a financial advisor. Highly recommend making sure that you know where your money's at. And he was like, look, you've got a lot of runway. You've saved more than most people your age. And you can actually retire very early if you want. And I was like, oh my gosh, I had no idea I was in this financial position. What have I been worried about? Like, I have the runway. I don't need to keep working at this rate. I don't need to make 6 figures. I mean, I'd like to make 6 figures every year, but I don't need to take some of that pressure off. And a lot of it was just mindset, just really coming up with my mission in life. What are my top 3 goals that I want to accomplish before my time is up on this earth? What is most important to me? And then anything that doesn't line up to those 3 things in my mission, I just say no to. I'm like, yeah, it's out. It doesn't serve me, so I'm not going to do that anymore.
I love that. I am going to need who your coach is when we're done with this recording. But what do you know what attachment style you have?
Oh, I don't.
Oh, okay. So you'll have to look into that. The reason I ask is that I am an avoidant attachment style. And one of the common themes with people who are avoidant is workaholics, because we are avoiding our emotions or other things in our lives and filling it up with work.
That's me. Yeah. Yeah. Then that's me. That's exactly what I am. I ignored every other problem in my life. Oh, marriage isn't going so great right now. Or like hubby and I aren't connecting. Great. I'm going to go work because I'm important. I'm going to go over here and do this thing so that I don't have to deal with you and I can shut that out. Oh, 100%. That's me.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I have done a lot of work on leaving my avoidant lifestyle and kind of transitioning from my former workaholic. I used to work 80 plus hours a week at my full-time job and then have multiple hobby jobs on the side. And now, like, I'm down to choosing to work 21 hours a week so that I can enjoy all those other things and have time for myself in the meantime. But it's hard.
Yeah, it is. It's so tempting to go back to that. Like, oh, just one more email, just squeeze one more podcast in, just do one more thing. But I've really just tried to stay accountable to myself and just bring it back to that mission. What am I really trying to accomplish and what do I want my life to look like?
I love that. Do you kind of talk about some of that in your book?
Yes and no. So I do in the later chapters, but it's always in relation to something that's going on with my body. So you really kind of see this first bit of workaholism spike when I am ignoring the care for my unborn baby. And I've put off appointments to go in and get checked out. And it ends up that I'm actually having an ectopic pregnancy. So if anyone doesn't know what ectopic pregnancy is, basically the egg does not make it all the way to your uterus and the baby starts to grow inside the fallopian tube. And it's very devastating for the mother. Like, you can actually die. It's a very, very serious medical situation. But I had no idea because I was overdue for my appointment and my checkup. And I was traveling on the road for work. And I was having these terrible cramps. And I thought, my gosh, I'm just getting my period one more time when I'm pregnant. I think I saw that on an Oprah episode or something. I don't know. Like, for some reason, I thought I could get my period again. And I was sort of ignoring it. And then I end up in the emergency room and find out that my baby is no more. And so that was pretty traumatic. And then you see some other examples of that in the book where we're going for stints, you know, a couple weeks without sex and just I'm prioritizing nothing but work as usual. So, but there's plenty more examples of my poor choices and workaholism that are not in the book, unfortunately.
Now, tell me, what do you do to make money? Or like, what do you do that brings you joy?
Yeah. Oh, well, those are two different things. Sort of. Not all the time. But so to make money right now, I will tell you, I am still consulting on the side. So it's a part-time gig. I can work from home. I pick up the clients I want. I say no to the projects I don't want. So for me, that is a great way to make money. And it's more per hour, actually, than I was ever making in corporate. I just don't do enough hours to make the kind of money I was making in corporate. So that's kind of how I make my money. It's fine. I love what I do, but it's not like, it doesn't fill me up. It doesn't bring me joy, right? Now, my coaching, I have a very small boutique firm, a small select group of clients because I want to give them my best. And again, I don't want 100 hours a week. So that is what brings me the most joy in addition to promoting the book. And the book, I don't think I told you, but a portion of the proceeds is going to Alliance for Period Supplies to help end period poverty. They're a fantastic organization. You can check them out, allianceforperiodsupplies.org. They help women who are of low income and can't afford tampons, periods, whatever. They put together packages for them. You know, you can do a period supply drive, but I am donating a portion of the proceeds to help them with their great work and make an impact in someone else's life. So that's what brings me a lot of joy and inspiration as I'm out there talking about the book.
I love that you are doing that. I think that is amazing. And period products are so expensive.
Yes. Yes. I mean, my last cycle was like $25. And then on top of that, I bought my first pair of period underwear. Did you see that? I posted it on Instagram. I know that was ridiculous. Yeah. And those were like $30. So not cheap at all.
I literally was just, I didn't see that post on Instagram, but I was literally just going to bring up how I've switched everything over to reusable. So flex discs that are like the reusable type or menstrual cups or period panties. And that stuff's expensive, but theoretically, like, that'll save me money long term. So they say. Do you talk a little bit about that in the book, like learning about these things? Because I didn't even know this stuff was available until last year.
Oh, same. No, this is all new for me. I didn't know until I was working with a coach who was helping me with promote my book. I'm like a serial coach. like I'm always like hiring different coaches for different things. But anyway, so my book coach was talking to me about you should join some of these groups where women are talking about period stuff. And there's a group for the June Cup that I found on Facebook that I joined. And it wasn't until I got in this group that I was like, oh my gosh, this is like, women are really doing this. Like, this is a thing. I had no idea. No one's ever talked about this before. I didn't even know there was such thing as a cup. So I don't know, maybe I was living under a rock or something, but you know, these are the kinds of conversations we need to have. So no, there's no mention of any of that in the book because I didn't even know about it. I was going to say, I didn't even know until I wrote the book that a vagina and a vulva were two different things. So like, like that was like a big, ooh, shocker. Okay.
What type of coaching do you do?
Yeah. So mostly life coaching was kind of how I would categorize it because people come to me for different things. Predominantly, it's people who are career women and they're feeling burnt out. They're feeling stuck. They know they want more out of life also, and they want to rock their reinvention. Others, I've coached a couple of guys here and there who are also sort of like feeling like they're hitting that midlife slump. I have a woman actually that I'm going to be starting to coach soon, more focused on like relationships and finding the one for her. So it's pretty open. I do love coaching women though, because I just think we have that instant bond, right? That instant camaraderie, like knowing what it's like to be a woman. A lot of working moms come to me because I did that whole rat race and know what that's like. I have some boundaries. You want to be successful in your career, but at the same time, you feel guilty about your family. If you pay attention to your family, then you feel guilty about your career. So like just helping women put up the right boundaries and live the life they were always meant to live is just so fulfilling.
Yeah, I love that. And I also mostly work with women just because I feel more comfortable working with women and we can relate on a much different level than with men. For me, that's just what feels good and that's what I feel called to. So that's what I do. Are you interested and willing to maybe read a little excerpt from your book?
Oh, I would love to do that. Thank you for offering.
Also, are you doing your book on like Audible?
So, okay. I have not done Audible. I did ebook and I did paperback and I would love to do Audible. And honestly, I would love to just narrate it myself and then maybe hire a guy to do the guy voices because I have a bit of an acting background. So I think it would be really fun to kind of just tell my own story. But publishing books is very expensive when you do it right. So there's a lot of ways to self-publish on the cheap and a lot of people go that route. For me, I felt like this book was too important not to do it full out. So I hired a very well-respected but costly editor. I hired a great designer. I hired someone to actually do a lot of the uploading for me. I hired the business coach. We actually wrote the first 10 episodes of a TV series to hopefully pitch that, which costs money. So when it's all said and done, I mean, I'm like into the multiple thousands of dollars. So I want to try to recoup some of that before I go spending money on an audiobook. But you know, if we get enough people to buy the book, then I'm all in on audio.
Yeah, I feel like listening to you read the book would be phenomenal. Like, I know that you have a lot of personality, and I think that I would love to hear it in your voice. Absolutely.
Well, let's make that happen, shall we? So I will read a little excerpt from one of my favorite chapters, which is Hot Dog in a Hallway. And so if you ever heard that expression, it's like throwing a hot dog down a hallway. I had never heard that before. Oh my gosh, my husband told me this thing and I was like dying laughing. And I was like, yes, that is the name of my chapter. Thank you. So it was a team event sometimes. I'll go to him for a little bit of comedic inspiration. So this is the point where I've had my first son. I have gotten the clearance after 6 weeks. So after you first have your baby, you can't have sex for 6 weeks. And this is the first night that we are going to be intimate since the baby was born. Here we go. Finally. I easily slid down on his erect member. My mind was totally blown, but not in a good way. I felt nothing. Absolutely nothing. It felt like I was screwing a number two pencil that hadn't been sharpened. Not that I would know from personal experience. Oh my gosh, seriously? Did his penis shrink? What happened to it? Maybe he lost his baby weight before I lost mine. Then it dawned on me. Duh, it must be that my vagina's all stretched out from having a baby. Oh no, I'm loose as a goose. I knew I should have done them damn Kegels like my doctor told me. Is this what sex is going to be like for the rest of my life? You could drive a Mack truck through V right now. V didn't care for my metaphor a single bit. Hey, I'm right here. I know all of your thoughts, remember? There's no need to be insulting. I'm doing my best. Sorry. Meanwhile, I wasn't about to ruin things for Damien. He looked so ridiculously happy. The one bright spot for me was that my labia didn't hurt, but it was a small consolation when I had lost all pleasurable sensation down there. I resorted to making some fake passionate noises while continuing to glide up and down. What else could I do? He was so into it. I didn't want to hurt his feelings or skeeve him out. Luckily, my acting days had prepared me for this moment. Meg Ryan had nothing on me. He believed every second was authentic. And that's just a little excerpt from Hot Dog in a Hallway.
I love that. And I think that that is such a good conversation about what sex after pregnancy is like.
Yes. And it gets better. So spoiler alert, like I'm normal now, but it was a little rough there and it was very touch and go. And the chapter goes on for a few more paragraphs about my big plan for this like 100,000 mile tune up. Like maybe I'll get like a vaginoplasty. I don't know what you really call it. There's some technical term, but maybe I'll have surgery on it, or I'll get like 1,000 mile tune up and I'll get my breasts done at the same time. And like this crazy hormonal experience and talk in my head. And of course I never do any of those things. And luckily it all gets back to normal, but yeah, it's traumatic and you're worried in those first moments, like, oh my gosh, is this what it's going to be like for the rest of my life?
Yeah. And I'm curious, like when this was happening, were you open with your husband or did it take like writing this book to start having these conversations?
Yeah. Honestly, a lot of it came through the book because I was not comfortable having these conversations. I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I didn't want to make him feel like, oh, she's not enjoying this anymore. She's not satisfied. She's not happy. So a lot of it I did hide. And I don't want other women to live like that because there's no way to live. We need to be more open with our partners. And so now in recent years, like he's much more open. Like I even said to him the other day, I was like, hey, do you want me to like go down on you? And he was like, no, he's like, I don't want to get off too fast. He's like, I want to focus on you first. And I was like, oh, yes. Sweet score. Like he's learning. So it's like very encouraging.
I love that. I was actually just talking with a male friend of mine this week about how when women become more sexually liberated or have more conversations about themselves, it really opens it up for men to start sharing about what they are feeling and experiencing as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Definitely. Like he is more vocal now, like, oh, why don't you wear this outfit or put this on? Or I really love this dress on you or whatever. Could you wear that tonight? Or like stuff like that. Like he is so much more open than he used to be in past years.
I love it. So if the listeners take one thing away from today's conversation, what would you want it to be?
There's so much, but I would say the biggest thing probably is just that you're not alone. Like whatever you are going through and experiencing, some other woman, probably me, has gone through it and you can find comfort in that, but also speak up. Like if you're in a situation that you don't like, that's uncomfortable for you, say so, get yourself out of it. If you're not feeling well, or there's something wrong down there, call your doctor, like talk to them about it. And if you're not satisfied in your relationship, speak up to your partner and bring it back together. Cause you know, there's almost always a path to rectify that. I mean, my husband and I, we've had so many ups and downs. I was at the point once where I was like, hey, do you want to get an apartment? Is this like not working out anymore? And then you work through it. And next thing you know, it's like, you're right back where you started. But it only comes through communication and talking to that person.
Absolutely. I love that. And where can the listeners find you and get your book at?
Yes. So the book is available on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com. And for any listeners in South Carolina, you can go to a physical Barnes and Noble or Fiction Addiction because they are carrying autographed copies as well. And to learn more about me or my coaching, you can go to KarenFreeland.com. If you check out the memoir tab or you go to the ins and outs of myvagina.com, you can download a snippet of the book. If you're still like not sure if it's for you, you can check out a little bit there. And of course, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Karen Freeland or Facebook at Karen Freeland Life Coaching.
Beautiful. I love that. All of those links will be in the show notes so that people can easily get access to you. But thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. I really appreciate it and enjoyed our conversation.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
This episode is sponsored by Pure Romance by Jordan Jones, offering top bath and beauty products and relationship enhancement items. Check out the link in the bio to start shopping today. By shopping, you are supporting this podcast.
Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again and see you next episode.